Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus said you ought to continuously pray and never faint. Jesus said in this world of ours that we ought to keep on keeping on until justice rolls down. Jesus said, whatever you do, just don't give up. Have endurance. Tanya Humphreys knows all about what it means to have endurance in the quest for justice. She knows what it means, like that widow, to call for justice over and over again and to be ignored, because she cried out for justice not for a day, not for a week or a year or even a decade, but for decades, since she was a small child. And no one, like that judge this morning, seemed to listen or notice her at all. Tanya's father was a famous person. You see, he was a co-founder of a group called Mercy Corps, located in Portland, Oregon. It is an organization whose stated mission is to alleviate suffering, poverty, and oppression by helping people build secure, productive, and just communities. They marshal thousands of volunteers to be a presence in those places in the world that are in most desperate need of help. Her father, though, the one who helped co-found that organization and helped write that very mission statement, he didn't exactly live up to that mission in his family life, and especially in how he treated his daughter. He did things that violated her in many ways since she was a young child. She told her mother in the 1970s. She told her friends and her school in the 1980s. In the 1990s, she told her doctors, and together they even told Mercy Corps. Her story was backed up by countless medical records of just what was happening to her at the hands of her father. And not one of them, none of them, did what the Lord commands. No one did justice, certainly no one loved kindness, and absolutely none of them planted love. And yet, she kept speaking, even though, as she said in a recent interview, it felt like screaming behind soundproof glass. But she kept speaking because she hoped. She hoped that someone would eventually listen. She did not lose heart, just like the widow held on to hope, just like the way that Jesus here in the parable tells us to live our own lives, whatever we might face. Keep praying, Jesus says. Pray continually, Jesus says. Don't lose heart even for a moment. Keep praying. Keep speaking out loud, for someone is always listening. God, Jesus said, is always listening. Don't give up or give in. That is the way Jesus calls us this morning, a way of endurance. And this whole thing about prayer, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, he just didn't advocate prayer because he knew it was the story of his faith tradition. He wasn't just drawing on what others had done before. Jesus knew about the power of prayer because he lived it. To read Luke's gospel, you cannot miss how central a role prayer is in Jesus' own life and ministry. Luke's gospel is always about a Jesus who prays, a Jesus who seeks to get away from the crowds and the press of everyday life to find a quiet place to pray. And when he prays, something happens. He prays at all the big moments, at beginnings and endings too. When he's trying to get his disciples to spread justice, he prays. And when the ultimate injustice is being done to him, what does he do? He prays. Since you might not have Luke memorized, let me remind you of some of those times. In the River Jordan, he prayed at his baptism. And Luke tells us it is in the moment of his prayer that Jesus saw the very heavens open and a dove descend. It was while he was praying that Jesus heard God claim him as beloved. He prayed before selecting his disciples to make sure it was God's will, not his own choice getting in the way. It was while he was on the mountaintop in the story of the Transfiguration. Luke is very clear. It is while Jesus was praying that he suddenly dazzled bright as the sun. It was after prayer that Jesus remembered the fullness of his mission. And remember, it was in the garden that he prayed to remember whose will it was that he was following. In fact, it was with his very last breath on Good Friday that he prayed his spirit into God's loving care. Praying without ceasing was not just what Jesus tells us to do, but what Jesus did. Luke is clear. He prayed that he might be attuned to God, that he might not just bring the good news, but bring the very kingdom of God so near. Prayer, you see, is powerful beyond our imagination. In this passage that they brought so beautifully to life for us today, whether we call it the faithful widow or the unjust judge, whether we identify with the widow or maybe even uncomfortably find more of the judge in us than we might like, the focus is on where our focus should be. Open always to the small, still speaking voice of God. Open beyond our circumstances, holding on to hope, even when hope seems hopeless or ridiculous. Even when it feels like we are yelling to God or to neighbor behind soundproof glass. Pray without ceasing, Jesus says. In this passage, we don't even know what injustice is being done to this widow. The Bible gives us plenty of examples of what might be happening. But the beauty of this passage is that Jesus leaves that injustice open, because it doesn't take a great deal of imagination for us to recognize or notice the injustice that sometimes can seem to be all around us. Miguel de la Torre, he's an ethics faculty member at the Iliff School of Theology. He likens prayer and this moment of the widow to living on Holy Saturday. If you don't know what Holy Saturday is, it's that day sandwiched between Jesus' death on Good Friday and the resurrection on Sunday. In the church tradition, it is a day of absolute silence. It is a day where nothing is supposed to happen, where the rules say we can't even do something as life-giving as offer communion. It is a day of sitting in liminal space and simply being. It is a day where we bring the known parts of our lives and the known parts of our world before God's love. That an yet known offer of new life may spring forth in surprising ways, just like it did on Easter, because none of them were expecting that to happen. Faith in uncertain times. That is the way of life Jesus offers, and it is the way of stewardship too. Giving sacrificially in that liminal space, facing the challenges of our life, the world, and this church. We give not fully knowing what new life will spring forth from those gifts. But we trust that collectively together, when we pledge, when we give, that new life will come forth miraculously, just like it did on Easter Sunday and does every day we draw breath. There is a great hymn, In the Midst of New Dimensions. And it calls for us to sing in the final verse these words. Should the threat of dire predictions cause us to withdraw in pain, may your blazing spirit resurrect the church again. That is the act of prayer. That is the act of stewardship, living in that liminal space, trusting that new miracles are about to burst forth. The stewardship committee mailed to you this past week a letter to you and a pledge card to you asking for your gifts of prayer, asking for your gifts of time, and asking for your gifts of resources. As you contemplate that pledge this year in any of those areas, I hope that you do think of the widow. And I hope you do think of the injustice out there in the world that we as a church are called to with our mission to be God's love in the world. But more, I hope you think about the widow because of how she goes about living and praying without ceasing. Even after justice has been granted, she keeps right on praying, showing the kind of faith Jesus extols here, keeping on, calling out for justice and mercy. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, he wasn't content to just pray. He taught his disciples how to do it too. That prayer we prayed with the kids was his answer when the disciples said, teach us how to pray. But more than that, his final instruction to his disciples was to go to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem and to do what? Actually not heal, not work, not build, not anything. But pray. Go and pray. Pray every day until the Spirit comes down, and then the Spirit will tell you what to do. Go and pray, Jesus says. The act of prayer is what shaped the church of that generation, and I hope shapes the church of this generation into our callness to fullness of life, both lifting our concerns to God and also being those who hear, those who respond, those who partner with God in hope. The Presbyterian Church USA has a declaration of faith, and it includes this. We know our efforts cannot bring in God's kingdom, but hope plunges us into that struggle for victories over evil that are indeed possible now in the world, in the church, and in our individual lives. Hope gives us courage and energy to contend against all opposition, however invincible that opposition may seem. For the new world, the statement says, the new world and the new humanity that are surely coming. And if you're bold enough while you're thinking about your pledge to encounter just what that meant to the early church, to those who actually knew and walked with Jesus, read Acts chapter 2, verses 43 to 47. If you forget, ask me. Acts 2, 43 to 47. And here's what it will tell you. That in that early church, everyone shared everything they had. Everyone offered everyone in and gave them a big hug as we talked to with the kids and shared everything they had. And do you know what the next statement is? And there was no one in need. In that church, they shared everything, and justice and peace sprouted like love that had been planted. And you know what? That early church, they weren't done. They kept on praying. So pray, pray, pray about your pledge. Pray about this church. Pray for direction, guidance, and courage. Pray for the resurrection of this church, even if, like on that first Holy Saturday, you have no idea what that resurrection might look like, or even if the idea that comes to you seems crazy. Denied justice so many times, left unheard every time, Tanya Humphreys, she kept speaking. Then news reached her in October of 2018 that Mercy Corps, that organization that had not listened to her complaints before, they released a new code of ethics. She found her voice and told her story again to Mercy Corps, and once again they failed to listen, suggesting it was a private matter involving her father who died in 2005. So you know what she did next? She spoke to the Oregonian, a newspaper who indeed listened. They researched, and they shouted her story to anyone who would listen. And Tanya would tell you that justice has not yet been done, but it is unfolding. But more than justice, she would tell you something else happened. You see, chalk appeared on the sidewalks outside of the headquarters of Mercy Corps, with these simple words written in a size that were taller than me. They simply said this: "We stand with you." Those words were aimed at Tanya. And so Tanya went to see those words. And when she showed up outside of the building, do you know what happened? First one, and then two, and then dozens of employees of Mercy Corps came out to hug her, to apologize to her, to listen to her, to reconcile with her. She described it more as a matter of shared grief than justice. She spoke of the kind of healing that brought her liberty. And isn't that exactly what we are called to be as church? Sharing in grief and healing, enduring in these times until in God's good holy time all is healed and resurrection becomes a reality, not just to wait for after death, but to partner in bringing with while we still draw breath. That's what Jesus calls faith. That's what we are called to do. That is why we ask you to think about, pray about how you support this place of prayer, this place of endurance. Tanya's final words in that interview, I heard, sounded to me just like the final words of Jesus. They were words of gratitude. They were breathed out like a prayer. She said this: "Thank you for hearing me." That's all. Thank you for simply hearing me. May that simple prayer guide our life of prayer. May that bring us endurance and hope. May that open our ears and our hearts that we may live into the way of prayerfully living a life of power and justice. Amen.